make them pop. Big gun Brian Petrie giving out the lot. One is mortal, you know it won't miss. Gonna take a shot. Dog lock, that's the underdog. Yeah, they in the hunt. Send them home, that's boy. KO or submission. Yeah, somebody done. Slime ball, yeah, that's the parlay. We gon' make it known. Pick 'em pod from MMA boy. Tapes. Yeah, let's get it gone.
Yeah, boys. Boys, 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 boys. Listen, if you're on the video side, you can tell by the intro, you know, I'm not dancing like I normally was. You know, your boy, can I complain for a little bit? Let me complain a little bit. I don't have much to complain about in my life. The past 2 years have been brutal with everyone getting sick and everything like that. Everything's going great right now. So I have little baby bitch complaints. I have to get off the old chest. Listen, vacation last week was fantastic. It was a stay vacation. I stayed home, had a week off work paid, and it was good. Reset the batteries, did a bunch of stuff. I mean, if you look, the backdrop's different. I got the Evan Longoria bat hanging. I got the gloves. My camera's a little crooked. Oh, well, we've already started. Go fuck yourself. I hung some shelves up, put some lights up, all that stuff. You know what I mean? We painted the kitchen, did a lot of stuff. Got sick. Had a stomach flu, which I didn't think was a thing, but apparently it is. That sucked. But the problem is I started getting used to staying up late, which is I've been waking up at 5 a.m. for 17 years. Earlier than 5 a.m. I've been waking up early for 17 years for my job. And 1 week, that shit gets erased because I was up a couple times late during the week. You know, I'm talking like not that crazy, like 11, 12, 1, you know. And then on Saturday, I went over to my buddies to watch the fights, 299. And the time jumped. So I got home right before 2, having a snack. It goes to 3. I don't fall asleep before 4:30 a.m. I got kids. I'm up at 7:30 a.m., 3 hours sleep. And then I got to go back to work Monday, right? Early wake up call Monday. And I wasn't ready for it. I've been so exhausted this week. Just it's Wednesday, boys, and I'm just dragging ass like some piece of shit that can't get together. What's happening, right? The time jump is, am I that fucking old? Brutal stuff, boys, just absolutely brutal. And on top of that, UFC 299 was fantastic. Well, on top of that, I did eat some bad chicken. Didn't get to do the recap show. That was fun. I've been burping that up. Today's the first day I haven't had bad chicken burps. Thank fucking Christ. So 299 was amazing. Want to recap it. Anakin Florian recapped it. We did the show already. Prep for that. I'm a professional. I got everything prepped. I know every fighter. I got my picks, but this is an Apex card. And it's weak on paper. Some people say it would stink. I know you can't judge a card by its cover. There's some fights on here that could be absolutely bangers, but coming off 299 to this, an amazing crowd of Miami to an Apex. It's tough. It's tough to get up for. I ain't gonna bullshit you. It's tough to get up for. People have been harping on the Apex forever. And I've been on the opposite side. I've been like, yeah, listen, it's fights. We got fights at least. No. After having some of these crowds, the crowds make it, baby. The fans make everything, and we're missing that. I have Apex fatigue for sure. Clearly, this card's a little weak on paper. I think there's just could be some exciting fights, but on paper, it's a little weak. And, you need to put this in front of, like, Memphis. Throw this on a Cleveland. Throw this on, like, a Pittsburgh. This could be a fight night anywhere. It would sell out because people want to go to the show. UFC live is amazing. The atmosphere, the energy, everything's great. But we're getting Apex because, listen, I understand the UFC's trying to save money. I don't want to rant about that. But listen, I was behind the ball. Everyone that's been complaining about the Apex for a while, you guys are right. You guys are right. I'm not right. Right. You know, especially after coming to 299, which was incredible. But let's dive in. Let's get in. No more bullshitting. Huh? No more bullshit. Let's get in. You know, there's already commenters out there like, hey, man. First 3 minutes, ain't no picks. Yeah, ain't no pick the dick, bro. All right, next off, we got Chad Anheigler. I can't pronounce this guy's name. It's a simple name to pronounce. I'm fucking stupid. Oh, two things. Thank you for pointing out that Jerry's or Rosenstruck is from South Africa and not Africa. Or excuse me, South America. I fucked that up. South America, not Africa. That's how stupid I am. And secondly, Thank you. I mean it for pointing out that Kristen and my audio was a little off last week with the live. That's 100% my fault. Kristen is usually a little low, so I juiced him up a little bit. Yeah, you know, tech terms. And he washed me out. So on the audio side, it's a little tough to listen to. Or excuse me, on the video side, it's tough to listen to. I think the audio is okay, but I'll clean that up for next time we go live. So shout out to all the audiophiles in the comments that said that, you know, trying to make a better show. Always love the feedback. Always love the input. Trying to make a better show. My light, I'm a little dim. My light over here will not work. I'm about to break it. But anyway, Chad Angheigler. I think I fucking nailed it. +136 versus this guy's fucking name, huh? Charla Lampos? Gregorio? This is a Longo guy, by the way. Ray Longo represent the ferocious Charla Lampos? Gregorio? Rough. Come from the Contender Series. Had a great fight in the Contender Series. Knocked out Cameron Smotherman. Straight right to ground and pound. Boom, boom, boom. Beautiful stuff. This guy's a striker, pure striker. I don't love that he's only 8-3. He's 31, making his UFC debut. He's aggressive. His losses are a little ugly. I mean, he lost to C-Rod. He's fighting on this card. That's fine. Now, Christian Rodriguez is an absolute stud. Got knocked out in the third round. What's going to happen to you? Lost the decision to Josh Smith. That's not a great loss. And then lost to a guy named Sadiq Ismailov, who's 3-4 way back in the win. And I've seen the losses, and they're not great. CFC guy, obviously a lot of Ray Longo guys are CFC. And his wins aren't so great either. I mean, you got Joey Cristomo Jr. win by KO. Chris DeSoni, who's been around for a little bit. I've heard that name. He's 6-7, though. Got leg kicked in round 5. And then Cameron Smotherman was good. He was supposed to fight Moutinho, all that stuff. Then you get Chad here. Everything is telling me to take Chad, right? Chad, Canadian boy, won the Ultimate Fighter, I believe, if my sources are correct. Yes. Contender Series. Not who am I thinking of that won the Ultimate Fighter? Why did I think this guy won the Ultimate Fighter? Someone in the chat, tell me who I'm thinking of. There's a Canadian that won the Ultimate Fighter. It's not Chad. Chad, anyway, was a huge underdog going around the Contender Series. Won. And 1-2 in the UFC since then, right? Ali Hong Kong, these names. And then he got choked out by Jose Johnson, right? He's a good striker, good grappler. He's the underdog here. Everything tells me to take the underdog, but I'm not. I'm going to go with Grigori because I can't pronounce his name. -162 is a little pricey for a guy who I think has some ugly wins, but he has some good striking. His cardio has proven to be pretty decent. He's got a, you know, fifth round finish, even though it wasn't against high-level competition. Good leg kicks, good striking, good camp, obviously, with the man Ray Longo. So I'm going to go with Gregorio if I'm saying his name right, and I'm not. I'm just not. But everything tells me to go Chad. I like it by KO as well. Chad's pretty durable, but I think the only way Gregorio can win is maybe by KO. Now, he could probably win by decision, but let me see. There's no props out. I'm going to have to give out my green hammer on another video. So there's going to be no green hammer. Slime ball, yes. Locks, yes. No green hammer. Grimmy Gregorio. All right, next up, Corey McKenna, -125 versus Jacqueline Amarim, if I'm pronouncing your name right. Again, I'm not, boys. I like Corey McKenna, right? She's 8-2, good grappler, young, with Team Alpha Male, getting reps in with Macy Barber. By the way, since she's moved from Ireland to America, right, living full-time in Sacramento, total babe alert. Completely had a glow up here, right? Debuted against Kay Hansen, one of the Contender Series, debuted against Kay Hansen. Her only loss is a split to Elise Reed, but Miranda Granger and then Cheyenne Vlismas, which is actually a good win, but Cheyenne completely laid an egg in that fight. And you got Jacqueline Amorim, am I saying it? 7-1. Great off her back, right? Great off her back, good submissions. She lost to Sam Hughes and then blitzkrieged Montserrat Cojuelo-Rios, which I fucking nailed that name, bitch. +105 currently on Jacqueline. Give me the dog. Corey, I see a lot of people going to like Corey in that she's a low number. It's a good spot. She has better wins in the UFC. She's with a better camp. She's getting better. She's young. How old is Jacqueline? Jacqueline's 28. It's not like she's old any, but we haven't seen McKenna in a while. And each time we see her, we see a little bit new wrinkle. Alpha male guys are notoriously known for defending, and she's not a guy, but Alpha male fighters are notoriously known for the defending submissions pretty well. She's going to have to. because they're going to be coming. They're going to be coming frequent. I like the grappling exchanges in this fight. If McKenna doesn't do enough volume and it's just pure grappling and holding you down, I don't know what the judges are going to say on that. I think Jacqueline, if she's more active, even off her back, she can win this fight. She's got some finishing ability as well. You know, she's 1-1 in the UFC. Her loss is Sam Hughes, which was a competitive fight. She just kind of lost at the end there. 4-0 in the LFA, which is obviously a reputable organization. Give me Jacqueline at a dog here. Not going to be the dog lock, but everyone wanted this back, so I got to give it to
Hello? You. Hello? Okay, this is dog.
Okay, it's a dog, not a dog lock. Just want to give you the sound bite because everyone doesn't, they like the new sound bites, but there was a heavy request to get this in. And on the live, I thought I played it. It didn't play. Sorry, I need the caffeine. So I want to hit everybody with that. I like the dog. All right, next up, Josh Koulibaly. -192 versus Danny Silva, +160. Danny Silva, you know, I like this kid. He's coming from the Cub Swanson, Costa Mesa area, right? Off the Contender Series as well. Looked good against Angel Pacheco. I think they both got contracts. Am I not right? Am I wrong about that? Did Angel get a contract as well? Yeah, he did. Okay, so he's fighting. He's fighting Cal, the Irish kid, in a couple weeks. But yeah, I like Danny Silva. I think his striking's good, but the problem is he gets kind of stuck in the boxing. He's got a good chin and he's really good with his hands. Probably, I think he does have some pro boxing or at least amateur boxing experience. You know, training with Cub Swanson, the cardio is going to be there. But, you know, again, in the Angel fight, he couldn't put Angel away. And Josh Koulibaly, if he's anything, he's fucking durable, right? This dude has fought up a weight, you know, and he got blitzed or he got knocked around by Jalen Turner. But besides that, he's been pretty durable. He's good on the ground. He's going to mix things up. He's long rangey. Got an awkward-ass body to him. I like Koulibaly here. The price is high. I'm not running to put him in a parlay. It's not like a single wager. I like it by decision as well. I think both these guys are durable. I think it's going to be a close fight. If you want to play the point spread with Danny, that's great. Again, it's not available to me right now. DraftKings does not have the point spread available, but +3.5, whatever that is on Danny, who is the underdog, would be nice. I see him maybe stealing around here. He does have good boxing. He is tough. He has a good chin. And he can put things together. And he's confident as well. If you watch some of his fights, he's just ultra confident. He could get Koulibaly problems for sure. However, I think Josh Koulibaly is just a little more sturdy, a little more vetty. You know, can we use that word, vetty? He's a little more vetty. I think he's going to get the job done. I like this by decision. Koulibaly by decision. I don't see a finish happening here, and I don't know what that number is. I can probably see the over. It's going to be 2.5. Might be juiced to the fucking tits, but... yeah, over 2.5 -210. I'm going to wait to see what he is by decision before I run to anything. So give me Koulibaly. All right, next up, Thiago Moises, -360 versus Mitch Ramirez. I got to imagine this has moved a little bit here. So Thiago is now -440. Mitch Ramirez, +340. Say something nice about Mitch Ramirez, Brian. Got a nice little body to him. Trains at a good gym. If you ever forget his last name, it's right across his chest. Other than that, you know, got knocked out in the UFC, got knocked out in the Contender Series, didn't look super great in that fight, has not the best wins outside the UFC as well. He's getting this shot because he's coming off a win against Aaron Tavares, who is the hyphy kid, who is a good little prospect. He's 5-1. That was Aaron Tavares's only loss. He coming off a knockout in the LFA, but he's also a Vegas-based fighter. That's kind of why he's getting this spot here. Listen, Thiago Moises just fights the who's who. This guy's fought just tough dudes. Coming off of Benoit Saint-Denis beat Meliquels. Did I say that name right? Costa with a rear naked choke. Chris Josh Giagos, who's a tough out. Joe Alvarez, Islam Makhachev, Oxen. The guy's fight the who's who. He needs a layup here. He needs a layup. This isn't going to be a slime ball. I don't hate you if you put this in a slime ball. I couldn't do it. I have something out for the slime ball. This is easily moral lock territory for anybody. -440. Thiago Moises, I think, this hasn't beat everywhere. Mitch Ramirez, short notice, you know, carrying some muscle to him. Cardio is probably not going to be there. He is tough. He is durable to an extent, but this is high, high level. Thiago's great on the ground. He's tough on the feet. He can counter well. I like Thiago here. I think maybe Thiago subs him as well. Thiago gets you down. He gets your back. He's like a dog on a bone, baby. Tough to get off. I think this is Mitch Ramirez going, yeah, I'll take the Thiago fight just to get my foot in the UFC. Who wouldn't take that fight? But yeah, I like Thiago's. This line's going to grow. It's Wednesday now. I got these lined on Monday at 360. Now 440. Maybe will he reach 5 to 1 come fight night? Possibly. But listen, I think this could be a mortal lock. You know,
it's a mortal lock, and I'm gonna wheel him.
It's not my mortal lock, but this could be anybody's mortal lock. And of course, you could throw him in a slime. This could be an a la mode part. You know, I got 3-legger on the slime already. Which, by the way, slime ball. You know, don't tell anybody. You're not supposed to talk. You're not supposed to mention it during a perfect game. Not that I'm throwing a perfect game with the slime ball, but you know, we're 4-4 in the year. 4-4 in the slime ball. I told y'all last year. Horrible slime ball record for your boy. I wanted to really ramp it up and try to focus and really lock in. And I think I've been doing that 4-4. There's only one of the four losses I went 0-3. Complete, just horrible slime ball, right? The other losses are like 2-3. We're missing one piece. So I'm proud of that. All right, next up, Ode Osborne, +150 versus Jafel Filho. Jafel Filho, -180. I liked Ode when he came off the Contenders. I think he's smooth. He's got a good podcast. He has a good personality. People that train with him like him. But man, you know, I'm rooting for him to win. He's not going to win. I like Phil here. I like Jafel Phil. I think he impressed me in the Muhammad Mukhaev fight with the deep knee bar. I mean, he fucking shredded Mukhaev's knee, gassed himself out, got choked out himself, rebounded well against Daniel Berez, and you know, arm triangle choked the first round. This kid's strong. He's okay on the feet. He's durable, okay on the feet. You know, Ode's going to have to hit him and hit him off them, hit him with something hot, maybe a high kick, maybe a knee coming in. But this touches the ground. Phil's a killer. He's going to go for anything. Head, neck, arm, knee, whatever you got, he's going to fucking try to take home. I like him here. Almost put him in the slime. I didn't. But again, this is another one I'm confident in. I'm going to play him by sub as well, which hopefully we get a little bit of a plus money on that. Vegas has been getting really wise to these props. So I like maybe Filho by sub, and maybe I would take it first round sub too, just to get an extra plus money to do a little dance with. I like dancing with plus money, baby. But I like Filho here. Sorry, Ode. Listen, you're a cool guy. I don't know if this one's for you, but all right, next up, Josiane Nunes, who might be one of my favorite fighters on the roster right now. She's -155 versus Chelsea Chandler, who is +130. Let's see that I'm moving, you know, because your boy knows chicks. -148, +124. So coming down a little bit. People are liking Chelsea Chandler here. The reach, the size, it's unbelievable, right? Nunes has no neck. So if Chelsea Chandler, who comes from Stockton, California, sees a Gracie gym, if she's planning to choke out Nunes, Josie Nunes, good fucking luck. She ain't got a neck, right? You're not choking her out. I don't even know if she's taking her down with the height disparity here. Chelsea coming off a pretty, in my opinion, ugly loss. I think Chelsea's a pretty good fighter. She's got some decent wins. You know, she's got, she beat Olivia Parker, who's 4-0. She beat Courtney King, 4-2. She beat up on Jojua Storyalenko, ground and pound in round one. That was her debut. She looked good. The Norma DeMott fight was rough. Norma, big Norm is too much for her. She got knocked around and turned her back and didn't like it and looked very amateurish. And it was a rough scene. Nunes, this little spitfire, 5'2", there's no doubt in my mind, she's every bit of 5'1". She's not 5'2". She's 5'1 on a good day, on maybe some lifts, right? Her reach is 67, still bigger reach than Pedro Munhoz. Hey-o, shot at Pedro. But she knocks people around. I mean, B. Malecki got brain damage. And I'm not making a joke about it. Got brain damage from getting knocked out by Nunes. Her fights before the UFC, KO, 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 debut KO. Should have KO'd Romana Pascal. The ref was right there. Didn't. Sarah Farron. God, these names, bro. I'm fucking struggling. I need sleep. Knocked her around too. Which, again, Romana Pascal and Sarah are not elite level girls. But your boy knows chicks. And the only way, in my opinion, Chelsea can win this fight is if she stays at range and just pieces her up for three rounds. I don't think she has the skills to do that. I'm not impressed with her stand-up. I'm not impressed with her ability to be able to do that because Nunes is going to hit you. Everyone she fights is taller than her. So this is no different. She's going to clip her coming in. She's going to clip her coming out, right? Chelsea also has a path to victory if she wants to take the fight to the ground. I don't think she's taking Nunes down. Maybe a body lock, but you're not shooting on tiny little bulldog Nunes. I like Nunes here. I'm sliming her up because I know chicks. I see Nunes knocking Chelsea around. She's from 209, Stockton, baby. She is from that camp where, you know, they breed toughness. I don't know if we're going to get a finish. I think Nunes is going to knock around a little bit, though. I think Nunes is going to win this fight. I like the number at minus 148. I already placed the slime as well, so I'm going to have to maybe replace it since this is coming down a little bit. But, yeah, give me Nunes, baby. Give me Nunes. Let's go. First leg of the slime. All right, next up, Mike Davis. This line's probably moving. Minus 310 versus Natan Levy. He is plus 250, what I had the other day. What's the line move here? Minus 325 for Davis, plus 260 for Natan Levy. Listen, Mike Davis, he looks like he could be a world champion. The guy is shredded, good looking, still one of my all-time favorite contender fights, him versus Zadiq Yusuf. Debuted against Gilbert Burns, you know, got smoked out in that fight, but I mean, debuted against fucking Gilbert Burns. What do you want to do? Goes to 55 and, you know, and was that, did he go to, yeah, he goes to 55. Thomas Guilford got absolutely destroyed in that fight. Beat up Mason Jones. Mason Jones was all the rage coming out of England or Wales. And then beat up Slava Klaus, which was fantastic fight. You know, Mike Davis has got a great chin, great boxing, good wrestling. For being absolutely a shit brick house, he's got some great cardio as well. Problem is we don't see him enough, right? His last fight was October 2022. You know, that's a year and a half, almost 2 years, you know, approaching 2 years. You know, that's not enough. Before that, it was almost a year before that. You know, the guy doesn't fight. Got a lot of canceled fights. So let's fight Danny Henry, canceled. Both Giga Chikadze, canceled. Jai Herbert, Urso Medix. These are cancellations on his part. You know, and but he's a fantastic fighter. I mean, he's a legit dude. Natan Levy, 3-1 UFC. A surprising 3-1 because some of these fights, I feel like he gets beat up a little bit. I mean, he got hit 104 times by Mike Breeden. Problem is he took Mike Breeden down 9 times, one unanimous decision. Geraldo Valdez hit him 50 times, but he took him down 6 times. Rafi Garcia, his only loss in the UFC, he got taken down 7 times. Natan Levy's, you know, he trains out of the Vegas gym. People love him. I know Chris Curtis is a good friend of him, but I like Mike Davis here. I mean, Mike Davis has all the skills to pay the bills, baby. He has skills to pay the bills. He could box up Natan Levy, who's been dropped before, who's been hurt by punches, has a tremendous heart, has good cardio, relies on his grappling a lot. I think if Mike can shut down the grappling, Natan Levy's in a world of hurt. I mean, a world of hurt. I like Mike Davis here. It's not slimed up because it's a little too high, but I do like Mike Davis. And the fact that he doesn't fight enough and clearly he's working on stuff. Clearly he's talented, but I like guys that have a little bit of a rhythm. And Natan Levy has a rhythm. Natan Levy has been fighting quite often. So give me Mike Davis. I love his talent, but I'm not like overly confident. I see a lot of people putting a lot of money on Mike Davis. A lot of people saying he's the mortal lock. That's great. You're not going to hear anything from me. I'm picking him. I think he's going to win. But, you know, I'm just a little nervous throwing him in any kind of parlay. Maybe we'll bet him by knockout since Natan Levy is, you know, hasn't been knocked out in the UFC. Maybe we'll play him by knockout. All right, next up, GM3, Gerald Meerschaert, which was the pronunciation of the week on Anik and Florian. I said Meerschaert because of the two E's. I've heard his name being pronounced a billion times, and I still fucked it up. Gerald Meerschaert, GM3 versus Brian Barberina. GM3 is a minus 192, and Barberina is plus 160. I feel like this line's off. Where are we at here? Jeremy Meerschaert plus okay. So Jeremy Meerschaert is now minus 245. Brian Barberina is plus 200. I don't love Brian Barberina at 185 pounds. I think that's a weird move. Don't think he was much of a big, you know, he's 6 foot, not much of a big 70. Kind of a weird move in my opinion. I think his power is not going to travel up. It hasn't. I mean, Makhmud Muradov took him down 13 times, beat the piss out of him. You know, Gunnar Nelson, you know, armbarred him quick. Rafael dos Anjos took him down, armbarred him quick. Jeremy Mercard is a submission threat. Problem is, he's not super quick at submitting it, right? He usually catches guys if they shoot on him or whatever. So he's going to have to be aggressive with his takedowns. He's got to be aggressive with his offense. And I'm interested in seeing that. I'm not running the window to play Jeremy Mercard by submission, even though that is the clear blueprint. You look at Brian Barberini, you look at the losses, you look, oh, Jeremy Mercard has all these submissions. Yeah, Jeremy Mercard could submit him. Maybe second or third round, I think GM could get him in there. He's very patient. He's a patient grappler. I don't think Barberini can put him out. Mirskart's a good size 45, or excuse me, 85er. And we're sliming him up, man. That's a slime right there. I got him at minus 192. He's up to minus 245, which makes sense. I think he should be closer to 300. I know Mirskart is, sometimes he's like really durable, and other times he's really chinny. He's also laid some complete fucking eggs out there, right? Complete fucking eggs. You know, he looks great against Bruno Silva, right? And then gets just blitzkrieg by Joe Pyfer. Joe Pyfer, a big power puncher. Looks absolute dog shit against Christoph Jocko before the Bruno Silva fight. Looks very competitive in the Andre Petroski fight, which a lot of people thought he won. Landed 76 strikes there. Petroski's a big, strong grappler himself, but I like Mirsart in this spot. I'm mortal locking him as well.
He's a mortal lock, and I'm gonna wheel him.
I'm gonna fucking wheel him, baby. Mortal lock, I'm gonna wheel him. I like Jeremy Mirsart in this spot big time. I talked about it in the Ankin Florian. Kenny agreed with me. We were opposite on a lot of these fights, Kenny and I, but he agreed with me on this one. I like Jeremy Mirsart. You know, maybe by second or third round submissions, I'll play it, but let's just money line him, put him in a parlay. You're safe. Barberina, again, that's the path to victory. You choke that old country boy out. But let's see if it gets done. All right, next up, Panny Kazad versus Macy Shasson. Macy is a minus 170. Panny is a plus 142. Rematch from the Ultimate Fighter that they won. Listen, I know chicks, and I don't know Macy at all, right? And no, I know her, but I thought she was going to be fighting for titles. Now, I thought she'd be competing for world titles. She's coming off her Irene Aldana loss, which is that weird upkick to the liver, which was dope. But before that, she's doing really well. She's focusing more on grappling and getting the fight to the ground. I want her to use her length more. She's very tall, very lanky, decent striking. I think the, you know, Panny, you know, she finished Panny with submission on the Ultimate Fighter. Panny hasn't been finished since then in the UFC. Everything's been decision wins, up and down, up and down. Macy's been up and down too. Thought she might make a little bit bigger of a splash than she has. Here's what I'll say. The women's divisions are wide open right now with injuries and whatnot. So Macy, this is going to be a bold statement and probably a wrong one. If Macy wins this fight and finishes, she'll fight for a title one day. If she doesn't win, she'll never fight for a title. And I think if she doesn't finish or at least look absolutely dominant and go for finish, she's not fighting for a title. That's my bold statement. I like Macy. I think she's talented. I think she'd be very, very good. Inconsistency in the UFC, maybe injuries, maybe whatnot, personal stuff. I don't know. I don't know her, but I think she can be really talented, and I think she needs to show it here. We need a finish. We need a domination. I'm taking Macy. That's a bet I'm going to make. Not putting her parlay. Not going to send her home. Not going to do anything like that, but I like Macy. All right, next up, Christian Rodriguez, and he was plus 110 the other day. Let's see if this is moved. Holy shit. He is a plus 160 versus Isaac Dolgarian, minus 192. So,
hello? Okay, this is dog.
Okay, this is dog. A lot of disagreement on this side for me. Isaac Dolgarian looked fantastic his debut. Absolutely butchered Francis Marshall, who's a good prospect. You know what I mean? Christian Rodriguez, missed weight. They're making him go to 45, okay? But this guy is stamped by the Pettis brothers, by Duke Rufus, right? He's fought some really good competition outside the UFC. He's got some good wins. And his only loss in the UFC is Jonathan Pierce, who's a stud. He out-grappled him. He got out-manned. What are you going to do? That could happen here against Isaac Dolgarian. Isaac Dolgarian, all his wins are in the first round. He comes out and he finishes the first round. Trains out elevation, trains, and people love this kid. I get it. He looked great against Francis Marshall, but I can't put money on a guy that is a one-round finishing machine, because after round one, then what? Christian Rodriguez, who's undersized, is still standing there, and round two, round three, what's going to happen? The line has ballooned up. I got him on the Anakin Florian at plus 110. He's now plus 160. Kenny is dead set on Isaac Bulgarian. We both put wagers on either. So one of us is going to win. Okay? One is going to win. I like Christian Rock. I dogged him up. Dog lock.
Hello?
Play it again.
Hello? Hey, this is dog.
Dog. I like Christian Rodriguez here. I know he's undersized. Coming on a three-fight win streak. He beat Cameron Simon, who I think is a tough kid. Roth Jr., tough kid. And Anaconda Choke, Joshua Weems, who, you know, his last name's Weems, will never win a fight. Yeah, see. However, Isaac Dolgarian looked good. He looked good. But look, let's look at Isaac Dolgarian's record, right? I don't have many dog plays, so I got to go. He's 6-0, 27 years old, Factory X Muay Thai. Again, you know, at not team elevation, but he's training at elevation. Sam Hernandez, 2-2, ground and pound round one. Marquise Moody, rear naked choke round one. Jesse Ebrick, strikes round one. Ray Ostrander, arm triangle choke. TJ Britton, his only real win over Frank, and then Francis Marshall. Sam Hernandez, 2-2. Marquez Moody, 0-0. Jesse Ibercott, 2-3. Ray Ostrander, 1-3. Those are fine. Those are your first four fights, right? That you're going to get built up. Then he knocks out TJ Britton round one, who's now 7-3, who's been knocked out three times in his career so far. Then he gets Francis Marshall and just absolutely blitzes Francis Marshall, beats him up the entire, and then puts him out at the end of round one. Round one's going to be tough for Christian Rodriguez, but I think he's got the skills to pay the bills. What's the over-under? Over-under's 2.5. Minus 120, minus 110. Give me the over at minus 120. I think Christian's going to take this to the distance. He needs to push the pace. He needs to be careful in round one. After round one, though, baby, give me the dog. Give me the dog, Christian Rodriguez. All right, next up, Kennedy Nzechukwu, which is another impersonation of the week. I think I got that one right, versus OSP. Ovin St. Preux. Kennedy was a minus 500. What is the current line? I apologize. Yeah, so Kennedy's 550, OSP's plus 410. So I'm going to get some emails, some DMs. I'll get some messages whenever there's a big veteran like OSP with a big number next to him. I'm going to get a, do you think there's value in there? I'm going to clear this up. There's not. I'm sorry. OSP could catch Kennedy. Kennedy sometimes rushes in for a finish and gets caught. It's happened before, but if he stays at the end of his punches, he uses his range, he uses his length, OSP's cooked to the bone. I mean, he's 40-something years old. Is he 40? He's goddamn near 40. Guarantee it. How old do you think he is? Say it in your head before I look, if you know. I'm going to look it up. He's 40 years old. Going to be 41, literally less than a month in April. So, football career, great. MMA career, been fighting for a long time. I think Kennedy's going to win. I think Kennedy's going to knock him out. OSP has that weird tendency where he likes to counter and strike. He moves like sideways a lot, right? He's like athletic. Now he just moves sideways. You know, he hasn't really put on pretty good performances lately. Give me, you know, his last real win was over Shogun, but, you know, fuck, man. Give me Kennedy, right? OSP should go in the Hall of Fame. And it's not even really hit. I mean, his knockout over Shogun the first time was great. But the meme where they put a skateboard and Shogun fell, I mean, that's the funniest fucking thing I've ever seen. That was grade A class. He should go in the Hall of Fame just because of that. I mean, that's funny as fuck. But yeah, Kennedy's going to maul him. Kennedy's going to butcher him here. And I hate doing so chalk. But man, OSP's going to have to fucking have a rabbit up his ass for him to win this fight. He's so outmatched in this fight, outsized. OSP's a big guy for 205. Kennedy's bigger. And he's locked in right now. Yeah, so I hate doing such chalk, but now you can see why I didn't pick the Mike Davis and I didn't pick some of the other, you know, Thiago Moises. I like Kennedy the most. Could be a mortal lock, but I went with GM3. All right, next up, co-main event, if you want to call it that. Ooh, shots fired. Brian Battle, minus 142 versus Ange Lusa. And let's see if we've moved here, boys. Battle, minus 185. Ange Lusa, plus 154. Makes sense. So Lusa, I'm going to go Lusa. Seems more natural to me. This dude just get cut up everywhere, right? Tough to finish. Went on the contender series, jacked up Milena, hit him with everything, couldn't get him out of there. you know, went the distance, beat John Howard outside the UFC, took some huge shots from John Howard, came back to UFC, lost to Munir Lazez, and then got a win over AJ Fletcher and Reese McKee, who I don't even know if Reese McKee is still with the promotion. He's on a second stint. AJ Fletcher, you know, his arms are this big, right? You know. Good wins for Ange, but Brian Battle is constantly getting better. This kid's constantly getting better, right? On the Ultimate Fighter, he's just a pure wrestler, a shitty, sloppy grappler. Let me will you to the ground. Now he's starting to put together. However, his loss against Renat Fakhretdinov, who got exposed to being a fraud, he got absolutely smoked by Renat. Didn't tap out, didn't quit, could have quit on submissions, could have just never got up after getting dropped. However, he did it. That showed some heart. That showed some toughness. That showed some learning ability. What does he do? Knocks out Gabe Green, his very next fight, and then AJ Fletcher, rear naked choke, second round. This kid's getting better every time I see him. I like Brian Battle a lot here. This is going to be a bet for me, single wager, maybe by decision. Angelus is very tough. Kenny likes Ange. Again, Kenny had a great week last week, and Kenny Florian's a fucking G, right? You don't have to tell me, tell one of us. But Kenny, like Lusa, at the dog money, he's even more dog money now. I'm very convicted in Brian Battle. Give me Brian Battle for the win. I don't know if he can finish Ange because Ange has proven to be absolutely tough and durable. But I think Brian Battle is going to put on a really good display here and show what I'm talking about. Just the evolution. The evolution is what English people say. I love it. All right, main event, Tai Tuivasa. -130 versus Marcin Tybura, +110 and -120, +100. So it's come down a little bit. Marcin Tybura is getting some love. Over under 1.5 is set at -140 for the over. Under +110. So here's what I'll say about this fight, right? I like Tai Tuivasa. This is why I think this should be in front of fans, because Tai got to do the shoey. People go nuts. They eat that shit up. Tybura's getting a little older, right? Which doesn't mean much, I guess, when you're in heavyweight. He's fought fucking everybody. He's coming off an absolute just mauling by Tom Aspinall, but Tom Aspinall does that to everybody. Before that, he had a boring-ass decision win over Blagoy Ivanov, and then a boring decision-ass win over Alexander Romanov. Tybura used to be an at-range striker. He's got a great front kick. He's got some good punches. He's a long-limbed heavyweight big boy, but he has really pivoted to taking it to the ground. So we did with Walt Harris. Let's see what he did with Greg Hardy. You know, he tried to do it with Maxine Grisham, Ben Rothwell. He's got some good wins on his record. He out-grappled Bagoy. He out-grappled Alexander Romanov. This guy's dangerous in the clinch. He does really good body work. Tai is susceptible to body work. But Ty's got a whole camp catered around him. There's no excuse him lose this fight. None. I have a shoey bet. I haven't had a beer since my wedding. I think I had a whiskey sour one time on a podcast like 4 years ago. But, you know, I don't drink alcohol. I don't have a problem with alcohol. I'm not a straight edge guy. I just get absolutely blitzed with hangovers, and I just don't think it's worth it. Why make myself feel miserable? It doesn't matter how many I drink. But I have a shoey bet. If Ty loses, I will do a shoey on the Anakin Florian next week, right? Drink a beer out of a shoe. Something I don't want to do. You check the tapes, you check Twitter. I think it's gross. But I'm convicted that Ty's going to get this done. I think Ty's explosive. I think he has power at range, in distance. My only concern is he's going to be outsized a little bit, right? And what's the takedown offense? Because Ty has been taken down, has been held down, right? Alexander Volkov took him down. Ezekiel choke him, right? He got knocked out on the feet by Pavlovich and Green, or Gon, excuse me. But before that, Sergey Spivak took him down. Blagoy took him down. You know, he hasn't really fought many. Like his most recent win, Stefan Struve knocked him out, right? I think that's Stefan Struve's strong side. Harry Unsucker, who fucking cares? Greg Hardy, who fucking cares? Augusto Sakai, an okay win, right? I'm not going to shit on Sakai. He's not with the UFC anymore. And then knocked out Derek Lewis in an amazing fight. He's dropped 3 in a row. What the fuck's going on? 3 in a row against elite dudes. He's got to win this one. That's it. He knows it. I know it. The UFC wants him to win it. He's the younger fighter. He's the more powerful fighter, more athletic fighter. I just am worried that he's going to get put on his back. He gets put on his back, it's a problem. Ty Borey has been chinny in the past, but I'm going with Ty. Think he's going to get it done. I'm not going to drink a shoey. He's drinking a shoey.
Send him home early.
Send him home early, baby. I got Ty by KO. Ty by KO under 1.5, maybe. I think he'd have to do it early. I don't think he's going to go 5 rounds. Give me Ty. Give me send him home. Let's go. Real quick recap. Send him home. Ty Tuivasa. Dog lock, Christian Rodriguez. Mortal lock, GM3, Jaron Merchart. Slimeball parlay. Now remember, the Green Hammer, I know I make so many promises. Oh, I'm going to do a video for that. And I never fucking deliver. I will do a Green Hammer video. I don't know what it is yet. The props aren't out yet. I don't want to do over under 1.5. I don't like that, a lot of that for this card. So I'm going to go with an actual finish, more than likely. Maybe a point spread, which fucked me last week. Let's go finish. And I might smash some stuff in the video. That will be out Friday once all the props are out. Once I see the board, that will be out Friday. Promise you. Dog just scared the shit out of me because he barked. So, slimeball parlay. You got Kennedy and Zach Jaku. You got Gerald Merchart. And you got Josie Nunez. And you can probably get this better than what I got it because lines are moving. But I got it at plus 190. Slime forever, baby. We're 4-4 in the year. I've given out 8 parlays and we're 50-50. That's pretty goddamn fucking good. All right, that's it. You want more? Hit that fucking subscribe button. 1720 is the last time I looked. Yes, I'm number watching. I don't fucking care. I'm number watching. Let's get to 2K. All the last few videos I posted are getting close, either over or getting close to 1K views. I fucking love that. Mwah. Mwah. I love every single one of you. Let's get to 2K subscribers. Let's keep doing the goddamn thing. Brian Petrie MMA on all social media. Hit me up there. I've been a little quiet on Twitter. I was quiet on Saturday because I was over at some buddy's house watching the fight. Something I normally don't do. I'm usually on my couch locked in. I got my wings. I got my fights. And I got my thumbs tweeting out. But unfortunately, not unfortunately, I went to a buddy's house. He asked me a while ago, a guy I work with, and you know, we watched some incredible fights. 299 was a banger. And I'm glad I got to watch it with some guys who usually don't watch a lot of UFC. And they got to see how fucking dope it can be with some of those fights. So Brian Petrie MMA on all social media. One last thing, goddammit. Shout out Mark Coleman. I don't know your current status as of right now at 11:28 a.m. on a Wednesday. But last I heard, you ran into a burning building, a burning house. Saved your parents and your dog. You are currently in critical condition because of the smoking, the inhalation that you suffered. One of Ohio's finest, one of the legends, pioneers of the sport. So the Hammer, get better, buddy. Absolute legend and now a hero. You got a lot on your resume, brother. All right, that's it, baby. Let's go.